Joining us this morning is, I guess, what, Humboldt County resident, native?
Humboldt County resident.
Wannabe celebrity on whatever that thing is that Ange keeps seeing you how to do marshmallows.
Instagram, Mantova. That's Instagram, yeah. Brian.
Yeah, I kept waiting for the Michelin Man profile and say, if you have your marshmallows, this is what happens to you.
Well, I just
I didn't see that view. I just kind of, perhaps it didn't make the editing.
It was probably cut out during the editing phase.
There we go. Yeah, okay.
Sometimes the best stuff is.
Yeah. You ready for it?
Oh, sure. The dreaded little quote book.
That's right. Why do we say that? Okay. oh, there's a funny one here. I'll go for it. Hubba Hubba. How did Hubba Hubba come to be chosen as the modern wolf call?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm thinking H-word like howling at the moon or something. I don't know.
In much the same way as the word barbarian came to be adopted, the ancient Greeks felt that foreigners spoke in nonsense syllables. Foreign languages sound like a series of baa-baa sounds to them, so they called foreigners barbarians. In like manner, the American soldier in the Pacific during World War II considered the native languages, as far as they were concerned, to be so much hubbub. Basing his choice on this word, he picked two nonsense syllables of his own to use in calling out upon seeing a native girl. Huh. Hubba hubba.
Dooba dooba.
There you go. And versus yabba dabba doo, right?
Right, that's definitely an upgrade.
That was like hair stuff. Oh, for those folks out there, Anthony, that are looking for or looking to pursue a career in music. Okay, that's probably right up there with playing in the NBA, but we'll go with it. Yeah, I think there's probably more professional musicians than there are basketball players, but the dream is kind of very comparable. What are some of the basic components for somebody to give it a fair shake to try to be a professional musician?
Well, I think your question's right on. There's definitely more what you'd call semi-professional and professional musicians than in the NBA. They probably don't make as much money, but I think a lot of the...
Hopefully their careers last longer, though.
Well, exactly right. We have a huge amount of information at our disposal and our fingertips. You can literally go online to something like Instagram or more likely YouTube and look up
just
how
to... Just try to wedge that thing in there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, okay. Right. But you can learn any song you want now on any instrument on YouTube. You have a lot of very giving people out there that are giving away the information for free. And so if you want to pick up an ukulele and learn Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you can find a good video on it. You can find not just good information. You can actually find somebody teaching you that might be your age, might be speaking kind of the way you're used to. And you can really take your pick of who you want to listen to. And on the face of it, there's some music stores, I think, that don't like that because we like having our own music teachers in the store teaching lessons. But I've always had the opinion that more is better. And if people have more access to music, more access to lessons, more access to content, they're going to be more inspired to play. And that is a big deal. So,
and you want that positive loop, too.
Yes.
Part of it is the outside guy or gal. Part of it is your internal scripting going, hey, this is kind of okay.
Where I think
it's falling in place.
Absolutely. And there's a great benefit, obviously, to having all the information because you can do what you think you want to do. I think there's still a role for a teacher because a teacher does, I think, two things. One, puts you on some kind of method. And then also the biggest piece of the puzzle is accountability. Right?
I've written it down. Okay, fine.
As soon as you've picked the piece of music you want, what level are you doing? Are you doing what they would consider easy piano? Or are you doing complicated, advanced stuff, which might be having to play 2, 3, 4 notes at a time, not just chopsticks, one note at a time? If you don't have any accountability and you just like accessing information and learning songs, there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to become a professional. Because to be a professional or even a semi-pro, accountability is a necessary ingredient.
Well, one of the things I can remember, a couple of quotes of some authors. Hmm. You know, if they are in a dry spell or they're not, it doesn't matter. They have 6 hours and they'll just sit in front of the typewriter or in front of the computer And that's it. I mean, the discipline, the internal discipline and focus to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes it flows and sometimes no, but it doesn't matter. You've got that discipline to stick with it. And I would suspect that's an awful lot of what a teacher does,
right?
Is it's, you know, you're going to have to to meet somebody who's going to ask, okay, so how'd you do?
Right.
And if you haven't done, same thing with weight loss and physical therapy and trainers and all these other folks that are outside consultants, and that's pretty much what we're talking about.
Weight loss is a great way to look at it because you've got we see this with adults a lot. They might decide they want to practice guitar, but they will dedicate 1 hour on Saturdays of practice and then maybe 30 minutes on Wednesdays and then nothing else. Well, is that better than just doing 10 minutes of practice every day? Obviously, 10 minutes of practice is better than just an occasional, you know, occasional practice. And building that muscle memory, but also building muscle memories goes two ways. One is learning your scales and methods on the instrument, but muscle memory is also just conditioning your own psyche to, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do this every single day, even if it's just 5 minutes, even if I just got off of work and I don't feel like it. Just putting in the time and training yourself, because then you're absolutely right. With writing, I know the great writers, they get up and they force themselves to write something like 10,000 words a day, even when they don't really want to. And it's all about that discipline, which then rolls into accountability to yourself.
And when do you become, in many professions and many careers, there is a timeline. Yeah, I mean, you have the Grandma Moses exception.
Right.
But by and large, you know, if you're going to be trying something and it takes a period of time to develop the competencies and then the networking associated with that,
yeah.
There's a chunk of time that's associated. Can you be too old? Or what is the ideal age for someone? Is it the garage band in high school? Is it picking up a guitar and playing with the choir at church that kind of gets that ball rolling? Where are you chronologically?
You need to start, if music's what you want to get into, you need to start as early as possible. And the reason why is if you're under 15 years old, under 20 years old, you usually have a lot of free time on your hands. But as you get older, it does get harder.
Just time to be able to practice. That's a yes, no.
Sure.
All right. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with community commenter Anthony Mantova.
It's good to be here, Brian.
Part of the family.
Yes.
This morning we're talking about a career in music. So what does it take? You know, I know from our perspective as radio operators,
yep.
Networking, where to go, who to call, that kind of thing. But that's more on the programming syndication side. That's not contacting the labels. You know, certainly twice or three times removed, I could, but so could anybody else.
Sure.
You know, you hear the stories of people going to Nashville or going to Chicago, depending on what your genre is, the hotbeds, Seattle with the whole grunge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And immersing yourself in that scene. Best way? Different ways? What would you think is, if you're going to chase your dream?
Yeah.
You got to jump in the deep end of the pool.
There's three ways an artist can make money, if that's what we're talking about. Number one is simply joining a label at the right time. Join a label that has your goals in mind. If you're a country star, for example, then yes, maybe that label would be in Tennessee. You do have to still travel. It's the old story of the waitress that goes to Los Angeles because she wants to be an actress. You have to go where the action is. It's the same thing with music. So one way is to join a label, and then the label will do a lot of the work for you. But they don't pay you very much, usually, especially depending on how much experience you have. If you only have a little bit of experience, well, guess who's going to get all the profit? It's going to be the guys that do the marketing for you and make the CDs, the records. And
well, they're taking the risk.
They're taking the risk. So they probably should make the most money. That's one way. Another way is to start your own label. And we're in an era now where we're seeing a lot of labels get started from very non-traditional means. It's no longer just Sun Studios and the big names. It's very decentralized.
Kind of like and vanity printing for an author?
Probably.
Self-publishing?
Yeah, exactly right. You've got a lot of self-publishing. But there's still a lot of murky area with how to do a label and how to compensate the artist, because we've got the Spotify, Pandora models. We've got other ways that music can be played free or very cheap. And then the model that exists for how you compensate the artists for when the song is played is very murky. It's hard to figure out where it's going to go from here, because there's a lot of content being made, but there's nobody really controlling anything. It's so decentralized, and there's so much free content out there. It's hard for artists to make money, and so we're seeing things where instead of issuing their content for free, they might just go on the road and do it their content during shows, and you have to pay a ticket to get in. So ticket sales is one way, shows is one way to build your name up, whether you start your own label or you're part of somebody else's label. And then there's just good old-fashioned pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do everything yourself. I've got some customers that do it that way, but that's really not the best way to do it. There is sort of a legacy to being a starving artist or a starving musician, but it's not a good thing. You really should team up with people that know how to do the marketing and not do it all yourself, because you need to be in a certain mindset to create the material that put you on the map in the first place. So what'll happen is maybe you record songs when you're having a rough time. Well, you go and you you go and you make all these accomplishments, and all of a sudden you've got $10 million in the bank. Maybe you have trouble getting back to your creative starting point, and you lose touch with your fans because you're not the same person anymore. So as you have to figure out, how do I create music? What's my best mindset to create the music, and how do I keep that together? Because you have to be a certain thing for your records to sell.
Now, so far we've been talking about the musician.
Right.
What about the writer? I mean, that's certainly a different genre. A lot of guys do both. I'm thinking like Steve Warner, who probably has got more hits in country music, certainly than what he does as a singer. Okay. I mean, there's a couple different ways to make it in the music scene.
Sure.
Then you got the promoters and all the others. But if you have the ability to write music, whether lyrics or the melody itself, same path?
It's the same path in as much as there are customers looking to buy what you're writing. But are you going to get the credit? If you sell the rights to your song to an artist, the artist gets the credit because they bought the song. So I think somebody that is comfortable, somebody that's a good writer, had better be comfortable not getting the credit. You have to be comfortable in not having people know who you are. And there's a lot of people that are down with that, but most musicians I know like being on the poster. They like being, in the spotlight, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's a whole different thing, being a writer.
Yeah,
in that context,
I would think that would be interesting.
Yeah,
almost a different profession.
Oh, it's almost totally different.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you and me a chance.
Well, sure. Yeah,
we went that side. If we were trying it as a singer.
Well, not with these quote books you read.
We won't have to worry about any kind of weight loss program, because this will just happen naturally when we don't have food to eat. There's a whole other genre of studio artists. One of the things that I learned when Glenn Campbell was going through his final couple years and doing research, and that he was an absolute stud in the studio as a guitar. Jerry Reed.
Yep.
Same way, Chet Atkins. A lot of these guys that we know that evolved, they were studio artists first.
Right. And that is another way you can make money, but you have to have a ton of discipline, and you've got to put in some serious time and be very flexible with different genres to have the kind of work of working in a recording studio as a session artist. Because sometimes you have to fix the mistakes that the A-listers have made.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And have it work, and have the end user hear it and think it's them.
Always fun. Yeah, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Anthony Mantova. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Egg, and Humble Termite and Pest Control. Anthony, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, easier to do it with a big label if you want to be an artist, a musician, or to hang out at the music scene and be discovered, so to speak?
Big label, every day. The big label is the way to go.
Are they looking for talent?
They are looking for talent, yep. And I would say if you're just hanging out and waiting for scouts to come to you, you might do just fine. You might even make a higher percentage of whatever jobs you're getting. But get with the big label, get the proximity to big artists, and then make your own connections and use as a launch pad. If you're bringing in, just use some big numbers, if you're getting access to millions of dollars, but you're only getting a tiny percent with the label, and yet the other way, by hanging out at a show, you're around tens of thousands of dollars, but getting a bigger percentage, you're better off jumping to the label. I would tell anybody, if that's your choice, to go for it, go for the label. Put in the time, have the dedication, keep yourself in check, do the right thing every day, and put yourself in the right spot. That would be my advice to younger folks, for sure.
How do you know when it's time? Either time to, okay, let's go for it.
Right.
Or time to go, okay, I'm just going to be a local guy, and that's it, and maybe I'm not that good.
You can market test it. You can take your music, and you can sign up at any number of venues in this area. We have a lot of venues that will pay you a little bit, or they might comp your food costs. But if you want to play, there's plenty of venues locally to do it. And what I would suggest is have one set of standard covers that everybody's used to, and then have one set of your own music. And maybe do one set of covers and just make sure that it's a good group that's listening and that knows something. And then do the next set of your own stuff and see what happens. You have to experiment, see how your songs do with an audience, and then listen to the feedback and be open to the feedback. Don't go in there thinking that it's one thing when it might not be very good. But then you go back to the drawing board, you fix it up, you tweak a few little things, change one word here or there, or even change the tempo, and you might have a hit.
All genres the same?
How's that?
All genres the same?
Oh, well.
If you're going country, do you do the same thing as you are classical, same as you are hip-hop, same as you are Motown, same as you are blues?
I don't think so. I don't really know, but I think the hip-hop community, I think you can do better with Instagram connecting to those artists than you can with classical music. With classical music, if you don't have connections to, a conservatory in Poland, or you're doing some time at a high-end school, really getting to know band leaders and
like Juilliard, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't have any of that or any connections to that, I don't think using just Instagram and social media in your neighborhood is going to launch you into classical music. I don't see that.
There are a couple that are kind of in between, jazz.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You got the young end of it. You got the traditional. You've got contemporary. You've got a wide variety. It's not a big one to get money in.
No.
But it does have more of a broad spectrum of lifestyles that are associated with it.
For jazz, I'd say there's an old joke with jazz. You've got an artist on stage that can play 20 chords and has maybe one or two people in the audience. And then you got a rock band that's only playing 3 chords, and they've got a whole big audience. Jazz is tough. I think the only way you'd make it in jazz is to take standards that people are used to and then jazz them up a little bit with your own twist, and then book a lot of shows doing that and find your way that way.
So how does a place like the French Quarter then, how are they so successful? Or are those a lot of the name artists within those genres that are there? You know, the House of Blues started in New Orleans.
Right.
So, a bunch of that. Of course, jump-started by Dan Aykroyd's money.
Right.
But, it's still, there seems to be opportunities if somebody can figure out a different way to maybe present the widget.
And well, that's where the specialization comes in. You say yourself, it's about the location and what the audience wants. And a House of Blues might not work everywhere. But in New Orleans, it's going to work, because if you can get somebody that's good with the money and is making sure you're making enough profit in the alcohol and the food consumption, then you find a good general manager that knows what music people want. And not only that, there's bands that know how to play to the audience and bands that don't. We have a lot of local bands that have trouble with that. They will stare down at their feet or their guitar, not smile, not engage the audience, not look at people when they play. And it's understandable they're a little bit nervous, but a band's job isn't to perform, it's to make the crowd happy. And it's to help, in a bar setting, it's to help with food and alcohol consumption.
It's the experience has to achieve a certain level.
Exactly. You're working for the venue. I think a lot of people forget that.
Right, yeah. Turning around, you can still play the same music and have zero contact.
Right.
Yeah. Or radio.
Well, yeah, there's always radio.
Yeah. Yeah, your mouth to God's ears. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Anthony Mantova about careers in music. There's also management. There's venues.
Sure.
You were talking about the venues. There's that relationship, that partnership between the two. Do venues make the artist? Do venues open up the doors for certain artists? If somebody is chasing that career dream, it's kind of like in comedy. If you got into the comedy club, okay, there's people there that count. They're there. Same thing with certain venues.
In Humboldt County?
Regional, national.
Regional. In Humboldt County, I think venues give our local bands good practice. I think if you want to get picked up by a label like we were talking about earlier, you probably need to go find the venues where scouts and managers and people that work in that industry are known to be.
If you can play at Shoreline.
Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you have to work your way in there. What I like about the local venues is just the fact we have so many of them. There's lots of spots available. We have a very musical community compared to a lot of other parts of the country. The bar is very low to at least get on stage and learn the craft, learn the technique, learn how to interact with people. But to answer your question, venues are still a very vital part of the whole process for labels that want to showcase new talent, part of new talent wanting to just try themselves out. There's literally nothing holding you back because we have so many venues. And you might as well get in there and have some fun and practice what you're doing and make yourself a better performer.
being here versus being in Santa Rosa? Big difference? Little difference?
I'd say probably a big difference, just because there's a lot more money flowing around Santa Rosa, a lot more opportunities to make money performing. And that's the thing, is everyone's different. You know, does everybody want to take their musicianship all the way to where it's a full-time job? I have a lot of my customers that they don't want it to be a job. As soon as it turns into too many shows, they usually are pulling out of the band experience, because they're using it just to – they're using their musician time to let off steam. They don't want it to be another job.
So more of a hobby rather than chasing the career.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's just a hobby. It's something that relaxes them and puts them in a good frame of mind to start their next week. I have a lot of customers that when they get home, what the guitar represents to them isn't just an instrument. When they get home from work, it's their ability to close the work chapter for the day and get ready for something new. I have a lot of people that that don't take music seriously as a career, and that's totally fine.
Well, I would imagine, you know, there's
nothing wrong with that.
All stripes.
All stripes, absolutely.
So to speak. Yeah. So with this, are there mentors that are available?
There are, and this is where I'm really picky. For example, I'm not going to say who, but I turn away a lot of teachers that want to teach at the store. I actually do turn away a lot of teachers because I have certain standards. I want to make sure that teachers will teach you how to read music, for example. You would be shocked how many local quote-unquote teachers we have that want to teach lessons but can't teach how to read. They're teaching how to play by ear. Well, I want teachers that can not only teach how to read, but also have some method they're following, so that when the student or the student's parents are paying that $25 to $40 per half hour, that I can be confident that they're buying into something that's going to last and have a lasting impression. So I'm not the kind of, speaking from my own store, I'm not the kind of store where you're getting lessons on how to play this song or that song, and that's how it's always going to be. There's a method in place. And if you're making the investment, then you're actually going to get something real for your money that can be built on by other teachers.
Kind of like setting a foundation for your house.
Exactly the same idea. And one type of teacher I always turn away are what I call jack of all trades. They might teach mandolin, piano, saxophone, guitar, and bagpipes. Well, it doesn't impress me that you want to teach all those things. It impresses me if you're actually accomplished on one of them in a way that I can verify.
Yeah, not just by you listening to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. If folks have any further questions or want to chase their dream, give you a buzz down at the shop or pop in.
Call me anytime. I'm always there at Two Street Music.
Always there. That's a sad reflection on your life.
It is what it is.
See you everybody tomorrow.